It's Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to continue our study in the book of Jeremiah. We are now at the 21st chapter. And about verse 8, if you'd like to read along, let's get right into the study. You shall also say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. You know, this is not the first time that God has laid out the life or death. And he's done this over and over again, and we ought to listen to him, because there's a way of life and there's a way of death. I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Choose you this day life and live. Or you can choose death and you can die. And that means death, spiritual death, physical death, yeah, all kinds of death. But this is something that God gives each and every one of us over and over and over again. You know, how simple that a 5-year-old child can choose life. But an adult can choose death every time, as they did here in Jerusalem, when Nebuchadnezzar was getting ready to bring his armies in and destroy the people, destroy the temple, and a pestilence was getting ready to come in, a pestilence. And sword, and every kind of evil thing was getting ready to come in, and yet, still, the stubbornness and the ignorance that's gone to seed, you can't make this stuff up. How dumb they could get by refusing to do what's right. You shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of death, the way of life, and the way of death. He who dwells in the city will die by the sword and by the famine, by pestilence, but he who goes out and falls away to the Chaldeans who are besieging you will live, and he will have his own life as booty. He's going to live, but he's going to have to fall to the enemy. Just volunteer himself into the control, under the control of the Chaldeans and Nebuchadnezzar's army. You know, that's how Daniel lived. He was given over into Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and he became the prime minister because of his wisdom and his supernatural knowledge of prophecy and different things that were going to happen. Daniel just bloomed wherever he was. It's just like Joseph. Joseph did the same thing, no matter where they put Joseph to try to kill him. He would actually bloom where he was planted. And everything that he touched, he was blessed. No matter where Joseph was put, he was just one of those that you couldn't keep a good man down. And it will be given over in the hand of the king of Babylon. I've set my face against this city for harm and not for good, declares the Lord. You know, I've already condemned this city. And he told Jeremiah many times, don't even pray for him. Don't intercede any longer. Because it's not worth it. These people are done. They have already made their decision. And God knows in advance whether people are going to accept him or not. He already knows these things. You can't fool God. And you just can't fool him. Because there's certain things that God knows in his foreknowledge. And this is one of them. He knows from start to finish, from beginning to end, from the very first when you were born. He knew you. He knows it all. God knows everything. You got to get that into your spirit, because as if God is some God that is guessing, at, well, I guess they're not going to listen to me. No, he already knows this. And we've got to realize that we have a God of that is all-knowing. He knows everything. So be aware that God knows exactly where you're at, and he's not limited in his knowledge or anything at all. I set my face against this city for harm, not for good, declares the Lord. It will be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will burn it with fire. It makes you wonder. First of all, he took an inventory of everything he took out of the temple, and the Ark of the Covenant was not on that inventory. We often wonder what happened to the Ark of the Covenant. Now, legend says that Jeremiah took the Ark of the Covenant and hid it. Of course, he was instructed by the God of heaven where to hide it, where it would not be found. Do you get that? God's not going to instruct his prophet to hide the Ark of the Covenant somewhere where, somewhere where someone, a heathen, is going to find it and desecrate the Ark of the Covenant. It was seen in heaven, so we know that it's around still. And the Ark of the Covenant may be hid somewhere because it's God's instrument. So you know that God knows where it's at. So we don't have to guess. And it's kind of hard to believe that one man, an old man in Ethiopia, is guarding it in this little tiny church in Ethiopia. It's almost laughable, but you can't put anything past God. So I don't know. You know, I mean, we can't actually say for sure, because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. So what if it was hidden in that little tiny church in Ethiopia? Nobody knows. I mean, no, they have not allowed anybody in there. So we have no knowledge of where it is. Nobody knows exactly if that Ark of the Covenant is there or not. Then say to the household of the king of Judah, hear the word of the Lord, O house of David, thus says the Lord, administer justice every morning. Administer justice every morning. And deliver the person who has been robbed from the power of his oppressor, that my wrath may not go forth like fire and burn with none to extinguish it because of the evil of their deeds. Behold, I am against you, O valley dweller, O rocky plain, declares the Lord. You men who say, who will come down against us? Or who will enter into our habitations? But I will punish you according to the results of your deeds, declares the Lord. Notice here, I'll punish you according to the results of your deeds. Not how you look, not where you go to church, the results of your deeds, declares the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forest, that it may devour all the its environs, all the environment. Actually, that's what he's saying. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah, and there speak this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, who sits on David's throne, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, do justice and righteousness and deliver the one who has been robbed from the power of this of his oppressor. Also, do not mistreat or do violence to the stranger, the orphan, or the widow. And do not shed innocent blood in this place. Why did he say that? Because they were throwing their kids in the fire. It's sacrificing their very children into the fire. Throwing them in. Well, it's the same thing as abortion. It's a sacrifice of innocent blood for the convenience of that person. That's all it is. Same thing. No difference, folks. No difference whatsoever. You think it's different? It's not. Do not shed innocent blood in this place. For if you men will indeed perform this thing, then kings will enter the gates of this house, sitting in David's place on his throne, riding in chariots and on horses, even the king himself and his servants and his people. But if you will not obey these words, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that this house will become a desolation. This house will become a desolation. There it is. There it is. A desolation. They didn't realize it. For thus says the Lord, concerning the house of the king of Judah, you are like Gilead to me, like the summit of Lebanon. Yet most assuredly, I will make you like a wilderness, like cities which are not inhabited, for I will set apart destroyers against you, each with his weapon, and they will cut down your choicest cedars and throw them in the fire. Many nations will pass by this city, and they will say to one another, why has the Lord done thus to this great city? Then they will answer, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord their God and bowed down to other gods to serve them. Do not weep for this, for the dead or mourn for him, but weep continually for the one who goes away, for he will never return or see his native land. He will never return or see his native land. Jerusalem was built on a plateau with valleys on three sides. Because of its strategic location, the inhabitants thought they were safe. And this chapter 22, in chronological order, God implied that it was too late for repentance. He implied it several times. God said there was still time to change the events to which this chapter refers occurred before those of chapter 21. God gave this, the king, a basis for rebuilding the nation. Turn from evil and do right. Doing what is right is more than simply believing all the right doctrines about things in the Word of God, but it means living obedience. Good deeds do not save us. They display our faith. King Josiah had died at the Battle of Megiddo, 2 Kings 23:29. His son, Shalom, Jehoiakim, reigned only 3 months in 609 BC before being taken away to Egypt by Pharaoh, Necho. He would be the first ruler to die in exile. The people were told not to waste their tears on the death of Josiah, but to cry for the king who was taken into exile and would never return, actually. Well, that's our time for today, folks. If you like this study, go to our website, krciradio.com, and you can catch up there and leave us a comment. Let us know you're listening. Write to us, KRCI Radio Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona 85929. Till tomorrow's broadcast, this is Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.